Our thoughts this time of year, of course, are turned to Bethlehem, the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ as a babe in a manger. But why did He really come? Why did Jesus come to the earth? I'm sure He had other things He could have done. But why did He come? A lot of people have a lot of different answers. A lot of people would say, well, Jesus came to give us a great example, to be the great teacher. He was a great teacher like Muhammad and Confucius, and others have different answers. This morning, I'd like for us to look at what Jesus said through His Word as to the reasons, or three reasons, why Jesus came to this planet. First, in John the 18th chapter, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto Him, that is Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. What is truth? Pilate said in verse 38. What is truth? My son asked the same question. I say, John, you tell the truth. He says, what's the truth, Daddy? What is truth? Sometimes it's not easy for me to answer. What would you say? Well, it's not a lie. That's when you tell things like they are. But what is truth? Well, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, praying to the Father in John 17:17, He said, thy word is truth. What is truth? Well, truth is just what's true, isn't it? Truth is what's right. It's not what's wrong. It's not a lie. It's the truth. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the truth. It says that God's Word is the truth. And look at John chapter 14. Let's just read verse 7. If you had known me, Jesus said, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Let me remind you that Jesus did not say in these passages that He was the Father. He talked of Himself and the Father as different personalities. However, He said, and if you'll just think about it, verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. What is He saying? He's saying that He is so exactly alike the Father that to have seen one is just as good as seeing the other. To watch Jesus in action, to witness the Son of Man on the earth in His activities, reveals just as much to us about God the Father as if the Father was on the earth face to face with you, involved in different activities. Why? Because they are exactly identical. There's no difference. Excuse me. Jesus said, for this purpose To this end was I born, that I should bear witness unto the truth. What is truth? Or more accurately, who is truth? Who's the personification of truth? Who's the one through all eternity that's never lied, that's never deceived anyone? God. And the world did not know and still does not know what God is like. Jesus said this was a reason that he was born, so the world would know, so that you and I and every other creature on this planet would know what God was like. To bear witness unto the truth. To be a witness. Jesus came to be a witness. Every act he did, every step he took, was to allow us to see God in action. Allow us to get acquainted with the God of the universe. And to find out that he's not a mean ogre with a baseball bat in his hand. To find out that he's not some sort of weird creature. But to find out that he's a God of compassion. A God of love. A God of perfection. A God that's like a person that's perfect, magnified over and over and over again. In other words, perfection personified to infinity. In other words, just as perfect as you could imagine, and then just multiply that by 10 to the 1,000th and you'd have it. At least you'd be going in the right direction. Jesus said, this is why I was born, that I could bear witness unto the truth. Hebrews chapter 1. This is the first reason of the three we're going to look at today. Why did Jesus really come? Number one reason is to show us what God is really like. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's far enough for us to see it. The express image of his person. The exact image. It's the Greek word character. Strong's Concordance says that word means an exact copy. Copy. An exact copy. W. E. Vine's Greek dictionary says it is the fact of complete similarity which this word stresses. The fact of complete similarity. New International Version translates this, the exact representation of his being. Would you like to know God? Would you like to know what he's like? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when he walked the face of this earth, was an exact representation of the being of God. Exact. Not a little bit off. Not a little bit different. Not differing in just a few minor ways, but exact. Exact representation of God's being. Exact. Another passage in Scripture tells us the same thing. 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. He's an icon, the image, the exact likeness of God the Father. Vine says of this, it's Scripture and Word, it's essentially and absolutely, that Jesus is essentially and absolutely the perfect expression and representation of God the Father. John chapter 12, Jesus is speaking. It says in verse 49, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Then in John chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If I don't do the works of God, don't believe me, Jesus said. New English Bible translates this, if I am not acting as my Father would, do not believe me. Oh, I'd give my life just in a minute if the whole Christian world could just understand that one verse. If they just understood that one verse, it'd help them so much. Get rid of so much junky teaching. If I'm not acting as my Father would, do not believe me. Such a simple thing. Such a simple thing. I've heard preachers preach it and didn't understand it. How do I know they didn't understand it? Because the things they said afterwards made it clear to me that they did not understand it. Because you do not come along and say, well, Jesus is showing to us exactly what the Father is like. Jesus was representing the Father. The words that He spoke were the Father's words. The actions that He did were the Father's actions. And then come along and say, it's not God's will to heal all. Or come along and say something that infers that God may not be interested in your finances. He's only interested in you spiritually. Well, then why did Jesus feed the people when they were hungry? Why did Jesus heal all that came to Him? One main reason He did it was simply to let the world know once and for all what God was like, what kind of character, what kind of nature the Father had, and to demonstrate to us with a vivid demonstration that the world would never forget that this is the will of God. It's not the will of God for people to suffer. It's not the will of God for people to go without. It's the will of God for people to be made whole, to be forgiven of their sins, to be in right standing with God, to have their needs met. Jesus said, this was the purpose I was born for, to bear witness to the truth. That is a main reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth, is to let us know, let the world know, that God is not a God that is just looking for a chance to get you, but just looking for a chance to love you and to help you. I'm glad He is. Sure helps you sleep better at night. John chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus says, He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please Him. I do always the things that please God. Jesus didn't say, once in a while, I do what God tells me. He didn't even say, I just always do what God tells me. He didn't say, I just do what is acceptable to the Father. He said, everything I do thrills the Father. Every time that He was involved in ministering healing to someone that was sick, the Father was thrilled about it. Jesus didn't have to stop and wait and say, now, Father, is it Your will to heal this one? What about this one? Would You like him to be sick for a few more months? Maybe it's not Your time, Father. What about these people here that are hungry today? Should I multiply the loaves and the fishes or feed them, or should we let them starve to death? Teach them a lesson. He didn't ever do that. Jesus said, Philip, you've been with me for these years. You've watched me every day. You've watched me under every kind of situation, up against all types of circumstances. Didn't you realize, Philip, that everything I was doing was the Father's will? That every time you saw me act, that you saw the action that the Father would have taken if He was standing in my shoes? Don't you understand, Philip? I'm the exact representative of God. Everything I say, everything I do is not only just acceptable to God, but it's exact words, the exact actions, the exact attitude that the Father has or would have in this same situation. Exactly. For the world to understand that, I believe there would be a mass turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe if the world knew that God was like Jesus Christ, and they knew what Jesus was like, if they would read the Gospels in the New Testament, I believe that people would turn to Jesus. Don't you? I don't know why not. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about, what does it say he went about doing? Strange and weird things. Well, a little strange to people that weren't acquainted with a supernatural God, maybe. But it says he went about doing good. Now, there's another fact I'd like to impress upon you. Is that when the Bible says good, it means good. That's a deep revelation, brother. So many dear people, when they read the Bible, they just think like this. Well, that might not mean good like I think about good. That's good like God thinks about good. In other words, God's ways are much higher than mine. And it may seem bad to me, but it might be good to God. That is the devil's theology to confuse you. It's that simple. That's the devil's theology. That's the devil's teaching to make you confused. Did you get that? If it means good, it's good like you would think about it. This is written to you. This isn't written to God. He already knew this stuff. If it means he went about doing good, that means in the eyes of the people thought it was good. He went about doing good. He didn't go about doing bad. He went about doing good, helping people, blessing people, holding little children and blessing them, praying for people, healing people, raising people from the dead, giving mothers back their children from the dead, doing things that people got thrilled about. Could you understand it better if it said it like that? Jesus went about doing things that people were thrilled with. Of course, not everybody. The religious people didn't appreciate it. Of course, the reason they didn't appreciate it is because the people weren't thrilled with what they were doing. But the people were thrilled with what Jesus was doing. The people followed Jesus in flocks, in herds, in big bunches, in great numbers. It says great multitudes followed him. They'd go out into the desert. They'd go out into the wilderness. They'd leave town and just walk out there for 2 or 3 days to be where he was. They got so thrilled with it that they'd forget about food and water and go off like a bunch of crazy people and not even thinking about where we're going to eat. They were just so caught up in being thrilled with what this person is doing that they were ready to get out there and just stay with him. They just wanted to stay with him. He couldn't hardly get rid of the people. They liked him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing things that thrilled the people, people just like you and I. As long as you'll just believe this little bitty lie of the devil. Well, when the Bible says good, it may not mean good. That means good like God means it. And maybe God means it for good, but you think it's bad. And in other words, like go get run over by a truck and go bankrupt have your wife run off with some other man and all your children die of leukemia. And well, it doesn't seem good. It doesn't feel good. But God probably meant it for good. Now I'll turn to Him. And that's not God's thinking. That's not God's teaching. Sure, some people in those kind of situations have turned to God, but multitudes more have turned to the devil and cursed God. And you can't give the accidents, you can't give the bankruptcy, you can't give the sickness any credit, because God was there all the time, and any time you'd have turned to Him, He would have accepted you. He says, "Him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out." Didn't say only if you're on the your back in the bottom of the ditch looking up will I accept you. He said, "I'll accept you any time you come to me." The only problem of it is most of us weren't smart enough to turn to Him then, but I don't buy it. In fact, I hate it. I believe God hates it. I believe God hates His teaching about God using these kind of things to draw people to Him, and Christians ought to suffer. I hate it. You say, "Well, this person got saved." Yeah, they got saved, but they might as well... They're going to heaven, I guess. I'm glad for that. But as far as being a Christian, I wish they would just ship out to heaven right now before they infect anybody else with that junk. Because they're so scared to death of God, they won't be any asset to the kingdom of God in this earth. Maybe when they get to heaven, God can straighten them out, I hope. But I hate that junk because it makes you afraid of God. You don't love God. You're not going to serve God out of love. And you're going to infect other people with that junk. And the world is not going to be won to Jesus Christ as long as they have a poor image of what God is like. The reason people are not interested in our God is because they don't think much of Him. We need to quit thinking religiously and begin to think like the people did back in the Old Testament. They won the battle. They were victorious. They were successful. Their crops did good. They got rain and the other people didn't in the other land. And the people in the other land would say, "Well, we want to serve your God." That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. God is supposed to be blessing you so much, not hurting you so much, but blessing you so much. In fact, He's already done it. You just haven't received it, maybe. The blessing of God is supposed to be upon you so much that Jesus said you'd be the light of the world. You just stick out like a light bulb. You walk into a room and the light bulb is going to be seen. Well, Jesus came into the earth and He said, "I'm the light of the world. I'm going to light up the world. I'm going to bring light into the world. I'm going to let people see what God is really like. I'm the representative of the one true God. This is what God is like. Everything I do is what thrills the Father. He's perfectly pleased with every word I spoke. He's perfectly pleased every time that I laid hands on the sick and they recovered." The leper came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you will, you can heal me." I like what Jesus did. He stretched forth His hand to a leper. Thank God He's not afraid He's going to get the zupigutus or something. He's not afraid of coming down to where you are and helping you out. He stretched forth His hand to a man that had that dreaded disease that people were scared to death of. He stretched forth His hand and said, "I will." Thank God He settled it for time and eternity. Why don't the preachers read that part? Well, is it God's will to heal me? Well, a man asked Jesus that once, and He said, "Yes, it's my will, I will." And when He was speaking, He wasn't speaking for Himself. He was speaking what the Father commanded Him to speak. He was speaking the will of the Father. Well, what's the will of the Father today? Well, if it's the same Father, the same God, and He hasn't been replaced by some secret enemy espionage spy organization and replaced with some kind of a clone that's supposed to look like Him, and He'll do the same thing. You know, that's what the devil's tried to do. He's tried to replace God in our minds with a clone that looks kind of like God. Oh, yes, He's big and powerful, but He acts different. He goes around killing little babies. He goes around doing evil. He goes around doing things that make people sad and mad instead of thrilled. Right? But that's a lie. That's a falsehood. Jesus said, I'm the truth. He said, I came to bear witness to the truth of what God is really like. Hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. All that came to Him, He never turned the one down, did He? He never said, you're not tall enough, you're not good enough, you're not religious enough. You don't have enough money. You've got too much money. He never said anything in the way of any of them not being able to receive. Whosoever will, let him come. He's still saying in the last chapter of the Bible, whosoever will, let him come, let him come, let him come. Anybody, everybody, everywhere, anytime, let him come, let him come, let him come. It says, for God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. God was with him in the words he spoke. God was with him in the actions he did. God was anointing him. It was the power of God. It was the wisdom of God. It was the will of God. It was the plan of God that caused Jesus in his earth walk to be and to do what he was and what he did. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, the first epistle of John. First epistle of John chapter 3. The second reason we're going to look at today, why Jesus came. Not just according to tradition, not just according to what somebody else said, but according to what He said through His Word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose. That's simple enough, isn't it? For this purpose. Open your eyes and see. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Why did He come? Why was He manifested on the earth? That He might destroy the works of the devil. The question is this. Did Jesus accomplish His mission? Did Jesus really accomplish His mission? If He did, then He accomplished this, because He said this is the purpose He came for. That He might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I think it's worth our note to look at this word destroy. Because we normally think of that word as annihilate, put out of existence. When actually, as you look at other translations and you see what that word actually means, is to reduce to a zero, or to bring to nothing, or to render ineffective, or to render harmless. It's like if you were in a war and you had soundly beat the enemy. You had bombed them and shot up their tanks and their ships, and they were signing a treaty. They were surrendering. Well, the general is still there signing the treaty, but he doesn't have anything backing him up anymore. Really. His authority has been taken away from him. They've taken his guns, they've taken his armor, they've taken his tanks. He's still there. And if you're dumb enough to sit down at the table with him and he says, hey, could I borrow your revolver? Oh, I don't want to do anything wrong with it. I just want to shine my shoes with it. I won't hurt you, I promise. You say, are you sure now? Oh, yes. Well, if you're dumb enough to give him your revolver and let him shoot you in the head right there on the when he's supposed to be surrendering, that's your fault. And that's the way with the devil. Jesus already forced the devil to bow his knee. He defeated him. He disarmed him. He left him helpless and harmless against you. But if you will allow the deceiver, the old liar, to fake you out and make you believe a lie, make you believe opposite from the Word of God, then he'll take your own weapon and destroy you with it. And it's your fault, not God's. You say, well, that's pretty strong. I don't know whether I like that. Well, you have two choices. Either like it, or go somewhere else and listen to some junk that'll get you killed. It's pretty simple, really. God says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. That ought to be an easy choice, shouldn't it? Why do so many Christians not choose it then? Well, the main reason, of course, is because of wrong teaching. Either lack of right teaching or wrong teaching. And so they thought when the Bible says good, that doesn't really mean good, you know. God might hit me in the back and it might be good for me. Crazy. This purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Turn to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children, that's the children of men, people of the earth, the children are partakers of flesh and blood. In other words, they lived in physical bodies. He, that is Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he took on himself a physical body. So that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Again, the word destroy has the same meaning. That he might render him harmless and ineffective. That he might defeat him. That he might reduce him to zero. I like Rotherham's translation. It says that he might paralyze him. Paralyze. Glory to God. We serve over a defeated enemy, not under. Most Christians, because of ignorance, have been serving under the devil. They've been letting the devil push them around with sickness over here, a little bit of poverty and bankruptcy over here, a little bit of marital trouble over here, a little strife over here. Fear over here, they've been serving under the devil. But the truth of the matter is that we have been lifted up and we are now over Satan, our old master, and we should make him serve us by leaving us alone. That's the greatest service he can do us, is to leave us alone. And he will if you make him. Let me tell you about a dream I had last night. Well, in this dream, there was a girl walking along. And she was going to a house where some other girl was babysitting a young child. And this girl that was babysitting this young child had a long stick, a whip kind of a thing with a little leather deal on the end, a long stick. And this girl that was going to the house somehow had found out. And this girl that was babysitting was going to beat up on that child so that its parents couldn't go to the inauguration. See, obviously the parents were involved in the inauguration. And this one that was babysitting, I don't know how she ever got the job. probably came in there and killed off a real babysitter or something. Anyway, this one that was babysitting was a big bully of a girl. Big. Got the picture? And somehow or another it changed into where I guess I was the girl that was coming to rescue him. In other words, it seemed like it was me. And there was no problem, absolutely no problem. Just marched in and took that stick away and told her to get out, and the child was safe. There was no problem. Just simple. I mean, the big bully babysitter did not put up any resistance. Except, I just couldn't seem to get rid of her. I'd try to lock the door and it wouldn't lock. And she just kept trying to push, not really mean or ferocious or anything, just determined. I locked that one door and the babysitter, this old mean bully, just tried to come in another door. Just kept trying to come in. And I thought when I woke up, that's just like the devil. If you just march in and you know what you're doing, well, you can just stop him cold in his tracks. He's not going to cause any damage. He's not going to stop you. But somehow or another, it doesn't seem like he's been annihilated and put out of existence. He's still there, the old bully, just real stupid, real dumb, but just always trying to push his weight up against the door and just see if it's still shut. And if you shut that door and you got another door open, well, he comes over there and tries to get in there. That's the way the devil is. He's defeated. If you'll stand up against him, you got the upper hand. But if you're just going to sit down over in the corner of the house and say, oh no, that big bully. In the dream, this one girl was just a little petite girl. I mean, small. And the big bully babysitter was big and big. But she didn't put up any resistance against this little small girl when she walked in and just gave her the whip. Why? Because she acted with authority. Well, you say, well, is that dream of God? I don't know. Probably something I saw on TV 10 years ago. I don't know. But when I woke up, I thought, that's just like it is. You may think, well, I'm just a little believer. I'm just a new Christian. I'm just small in the Lord. My faith is small. That's all right. Jesus said, he that believeth in my name cast out the devil. You might be 1 minute old in the Lord, but you're still over Satan. And if you'll know it and stand on it, you can stand against his work, stand against his activities. Why? Because for this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Aren't you glad that Jesus came into the world and he accomplished this purpose to defeat the devil, to reduce to zero his works? Aren't you glad? I'm glad I'm not under the dominion of all that junk. And how did he do it? He did it through death. Jesus had to enter into death. That brings us to the third reason. Turn to John the 10th chapter. The third reason that Jesus talked about in his word, why he really came. Why did Jesus really come to the earth? Why? Just so we could have Christmas? No. So that we might have life. You say, wait a minute. People were already alive. No, they weren't. They were existing. They were taking up space like a refrigerator that's unplugged. It's taking up space. It's in existence. But there's no life in it. It's not going to be doing anything until it's plugged in. Well, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Then he went on to say, I have come that they might have life. William's translation says, I have come for people to have life. He's inferring that people did not have life. If people had life, there would be no reason for him to say, I've come that people might have life. Are you sharp enough to grasp that this morning? People didn't have life. They were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead spiritually, dead on the inside. Death in their spirits. Death in their heart. Jesus said, I've come for people to have life. I've come that they may have life. Translator's New Testament says that men may have life. All mankind, men, women, children, whosoever. Weiss translation says, I alone came in order that they might be possessing life. Muhammad didn't come that people might have life. Buddha didn't come that people might have life. Confucius didn't come that people might have life. Mao didn't come that people might have life. Jesus said, I alone am come that people might have life. Well, why was he alone the only one that came? Because he's the only one that's ever came into this planet that had life. He said, I have life in myself just as the Father has life in himself. I have that life. And I'm the only one. Well, he gave up that life as a sacrifice in our place so that we, as all humanity, might by the grace of God receive the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Romans 6:23 says it's life. What kind of life? Eternal. The God kind of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life, eternal life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. You might kind of hang on to your place there in John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Why? Why did God send Jesus into the world? Why did He really come, people? That we might live through Him. Phillips' translation says, to give us life through Him. Well, if you're going to live, you're going to have somebody give you life. God sent His only begotten Son into the world so we could have Christmas, so we could have Easter, so we could come to church, so we wouldn't get bored not having anything else to do on Sundays. God sent His Son into the world to give us life through Him. New English Bible says He sent His only Son into the world to bring us life. You see, we didn't have life. But Jesus came to bring us what we didn't have, and that was life. That's what we needed, life. And He did all this and defeated the devil through death. You see, the devil's the lord of the death realm, but he doesn't have any dominion over those that are alive. And so when He gave us the gift of God, which is life, then that made Satan unable to lord it over us any longer. You can have a 2-foot-high, 29-pound midget that can boss every corpse in the morgue around, and they won't back-talk him a bit. But if all those people come alive, they may not listen to him any longer. And that's the way it is with us. When we've been brought to life, we've got the life of God, the gift of God, eternal life. We're possessors of it, that we might possess it. It says that He came. Then Satan has no more dominion over us. We're in a different realm, in a different sphere of existence, and he is not the lord of that realm. He has no dominion over us in that new realm. Glory to God. He sent His only Son into the world to bring us life. Now turn back to John, the 6th chapter. It's John chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus is speaking of himself. John 6:33, we're talking about the third reason why Jesus came into this world, according to the Word, to give life to mankind. John 6:33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Wade says, for the bread of God is that which not only descends out of heaven, but also imparts the life to the world. That's why he came. John, the 6th chapter, verse 51. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You see, heaven was where this life was at. Because it's the life of God. It's the life of God's realm. It's the kind of life that God has. It's the kind of life that there is in heaven. And it wasn't on the earth because all men were dead in trespasses and sins. The light had went out. There was no life, no spiritual life anymore. Jesus went on to say, if any man eat of this bread, of what bread? He said, I am the living bread. He said, if any man eat of this bread or partake of, you could say it that way, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I will give for the life of the world. One translation says, the bread which I will give to bring the world to life is my flesh. He said, It is I who am the living and life-imparting bread that descended out of heaven. The living and life-imparting bread. In other words, he says, if you partake of me, or we could say it this way, if you receive me, if you partake of me, he says, you're going to partake of something that will give you life. He said, that's why I came, so that people could have life. What kind of life? He's saying, well, you can have a better life. If you partake of me, you can have a better life. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, well, you can have an extra car in the driveway. You can have more friends. Now listen to me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you can have life in your spirit. You can have life on the inside of you. You can have something that will satisfy you on the inside. But guess what? If you get that life on the inside, it's going to affect the outside also. And no doubt you will have more friends. I mean, who'd like to be friends with a child of the devil? But everybody'd like to be friends with a child of the King, wouldn't they? No doubt you will drive a better car if you just ask God for one. All that can be involved. I'm not excluding it, but Jesus didn't say, well, I'm come so people can, you know, get along a little better. I'm going to help them out here. No, he said, I'm going to raise them up to a new level of existence out of one realm into another realm. They are going to have life. They're going to be alive. They're going to have the same life in them that I have in me and the Father has in him. And they're going to be brought into the family of God by that. And that's the reason why Jesus came. Number one, to bear witness to the truth, to show us what God is really like. Number two, to defeat mankind's old enemy, the devil. To render him harmless against those that know who they are in Christ and who the devil is after Christ got through with him. And number three, reason why Jesus really came is so that man could have life. Be brought to life. And how's man going to be brought to life? Only one way, by receiving Jesus. By receiving Jesus. 1 John chapter 5 makes it very clear to us. Verse 11, it says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. In other words, the life of God. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's two groups of people. Not poor and rich, not black and white, Not Americans and everybody else. There's two groups of people. There's people that have life, and there's people that don't have life. I'm not talking about physical existence, because everybody is existing somewhere. Everybody that's ever lived on the face of this planet is still alive somewhere. And they're in two categories too. Those that have life and those that don't. You say, oh, I just don't know if I'm ready to become a Christian. Just stay dead then. Just let the devil be your master. Just let the devil lord it over you. Just let him take you to hell and torment you forever. Is that your choice? A wise, intelligent person like you? That's the kind of choice you'd make? You say, well, I just don't know if I believe everything you believe. Well, if you believe the Bible, and if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. Wait a minute, you already are in trouble, you just may not know it. You see, there's only one thing that you can partake of that's the answer. God has a corner on the market. There's only one bread from heaven. There's only one person that came out of heaven to bring life to the world, and His name is Jesus of Nazareth. If you receive Him, then you receive that life. If you reject Him, you remain dead. Dead on the inside. Stand to your feet with me, please.